I call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skaronski.
Here.
Please rise. Join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you wouldn't mind remain standing, we have a very special guest tonight who has agreed to sing the national anthem for us. And she just happens to win the state's Distinguished Young Women's Program. This is Jeanette from Racine, and I think you used to be, Miss American Teen at one time? So I had the privilege of listening to Janine when she sang at the contest. So with that, would you like to start us off?
Oh, say can you see thy dawn's early light, what so proudly we
Sue Herman, you here? Why don't you stand and introduce a couple of people that are with you. Sue is from Franklin, and I'm very proud to say that. She's also the person that puts together the state program for the Distinguished Young Women's Program, and has done so for many years. And you have some special guests with us tonight?
Over here we have Adam Koremski, who is Franklin's Distinguished Young Woman.
Hey. Well, I think everybody would agree with me that Jeanette has a very remarkable voice, and we wish her well. I personally think she's probably got dibs on first place for the nation, but we'll see. All right. Next item on my agenda is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, ma'am. If you please state your name and address for the record, we'd appreciate it.
I would like to voice my concerns with the changes that are being presented to you in regards to health insurance and retirement. I am a single parent and moved here after my divorce after getting my first full-time job and being on my own as a single parent for the first time in my life. My daughter graduated from Franklin High School in 2010 and is now going to MATC. I moved here in order to be close to her and to be able to provide for her as best as I could. I no longer receive child support and am the sole provider for her and my insurance needs. I have worked here for 8.5 years and put all the money I could into purchasing my condominium. I still owe half of what is due for the purchase and never thought that I would be in the position of being in foreclosure. But the truth is that if I should not be able to afford my mortgage payments and my condominium fees, which have raised considerably since I bought the condo, I would very likely lose my condominium into foreclosure, even though I have already paid off half of the purchase price. I share my story to let you know that I am one person that any reduction in pay or higher cost paid into for health insurance and or retirement benefits would make things more difficult for me to continue to live in the city of Franklin. There are other people that may also be like me, single parents or people who are the sole providers of health insurance coverage for their family. These changes will put a huge strain on any and all of us, but especially for the ones who only have a single income or a single health insurance plan. I have heard comments from people in regards to items that make myself question whether we really need to implement these changes. For example, I have heard something about the TIF district and that money would be coming back to the city since time has expired and they would be making contributions to the city. I am not sure what all this entails, but I do feel a need to mention this just in case this would remind or give you any other ideas that maybe this would cover some of the budget strains that we may have. Also, I am wondering that since we were told about checking into getting into the Wisconsin retirement system, if this could be mandated to look into and be able to become a part of. I heard in the personnel meeting about how much better this system is managed, and have attended one meeting in West Bend at one time where everyone there could not believe we were not in the WRS system, since the majority of cities are in it. I understood that since we had one department that was in a different program, that we could not be in it, but now we seem to have the option of being able to make changes and be fair to everyone and make this change for the better, I hope. If we are going to have to put into a retirement system, I, for one, and after talking with other coworkers and not alone in this opinion, would rather pay into a professionally managed WRS system than the one where we make our own choices. Not being a finance major, I am sure that I am not making the best choices with my retirement funds. Also, after hearing in the personnel committee meeting that the DPW retirement plan is professionally managed and that I believe the city is paying for that management, and then hearing how much better people are doing with their funds because of the professional management, I feel that we should all be treated equally and be afforded this type of plan as with the WRS plan. Also, I have heard that we people that are with the Teamsters are one of two groups who do not have any retirement health insurance. The non-represented and other union groups do have retiree health insurance. Can we all be treated fairly and get that coverage extended to both of the groups that do not have it currently? One more thing. I am not sure if we are mandated to do anything by the state except to instill the civil service back as the guide for our employment regulations. If this is true, then why do we need to make changes to the current health insurance and pay more for both insurance coverage and retirement packages? These are questions that many of us have. We talk about together, and I no longer feel being silent about these questions is in our best interest. Yes, we are all very fortunate to have a job and to be a part of the family of the City of Franklin workers. We appreciate what we have and would like to understand more fully the decisions that are being made. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? If you would, please state your name and address for the record.
Good evening. My name is Margaret Gutterian. I'm actually a resident of Oak Creek, but I'm here on behalf of Sabre Robotics. Would you like me to wait until our agenda item, or are we looking to speak?
I think if you wait until the item, that probably would be best, but thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
My name is Tom Shipley. I live on 5341 West Harbor Drive. I'm here concerning the 51st Street capital funding. I would like to see a sidewalk or a bike path put in from my street, the north end of Franklin, down to Rawson Avenue. My children and I enjoy the bike path of the Oak Leaf Trail and like a safe way to access that as well as a shopping center.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Hi, Craig Haskins, 5444 West Harvard. I'm also the president of the Homeowners Association, but I understand I have to fill out a form for that. I didn't have a chance to do that. Your agenda was posted late Friday. Didn't have enough time to get all of our homeowners to meet over the holiday weekend, so you'll have to trust me when I say that
I guess we know you well enough.
So, actually, on behalf of myself, we understand that you're repaving, pulverizing 51st Street, and at the same time, your capable engineering staff has put together a proposal to include a sidewalk or a path on the west side of 51st Street, and I think that's a great idea. Many people in our subdivision and subdivision across 51st Street have a hard time making it to Rawson to go to the, head down the sidewalk to the trails, head over to Sendix or Andy's or any of the other businesses in the area. Additionally, all of those neighborhoods are zoned for Pleasant View Elementary, which you can't also get to from our neighborhood without heading through direct traffic on 51st Street. Happens when I do karaoke too. So.
Yeah.
So, don't blame me for that. Sandy, are you doing that on purpose? Oh, my time off. We hope that you consider it and let us have a path on 51st. Eventually, when the sidewalks are all put through, we could get to the high school as well, directly from that area. So, at the time the road's being pulverized and redone, if we could. Love your consideration for the path on the west side of 51st Street, north of the city lines. Again, there's already a path, there's already a sidewalk there, it just sort of ends on both sides of the road. It doesn't get to where anyone lives. It starts at the church on both sides and it goes to Rawson. And I don't know if I've seen anyone on that. I guess if we had a path there, we'd have more people in the neighborhoods using that. I'm also not aware of any opposition, other than a couple of people who are sitting up here in front of me. So hopefully, if they're here tonight, they'll explain to you why a path would not be in the best interest of us in Franklin. So thanks.
Thank you. And else we should speak in the citizens' comment period.
Dave Fowler, 7549 Riverview Road. I'm also the chair of the Trails Committee, and I'd like to speak my support for items G4 and G5. I think that was what our committee was, one of the reasons our committee was put together. I think it's been something the city could do. I also would like to say if the cost is an issue, we might consider when we do the paving of the new 51st Street north of Rawson, that we consider the trails at the same time, that we save barricade costs, and we save mobilization costs as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, ma'am.
Lucia Stratton, 6730 Harvard Drive. Also in support of the path, I have two young children, 4 and 7. They oftentimes go biking or walking, again, trying to get to the path or to Sendix. What I find that I'm doing is illegally bike riding to go towards traffic because it's safer. And that's not what we're supposed to do, but what I end up doing is going against it because I feel like I have more control over that narrowness on the bike with a kid's trailer behind me than going towards it. So I would be very in support of this. I think for our children and families, it's something we need. Also, like Craig said, for business support and getting to those businesses safely. The thing that I think of, just a personal story, is what we just went through recently with little Ava Zimmerman in Greendale. And I think of that because it was, on their streets with sidewalks, and we have a situation with no sidewalks or paths and a ton of neighborhoods nearby with children and families. So I hope that you consider in agreement with the path that they've already put out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Take this out so I can stand up. My name's Kurt Bolton, 8035 West Imperial Drive, Franklin. I'm also here to talk about 51st Street sidewalk north of Drexel. As an engineer, I know it's always easier to try and get things done while you're in or constructing things the first time rather than come back and disturb everybody a second time. So I think when 51st Street is reconstructed, that's the perfect time to put in the sidewalk. Some people may say that in these times of financial difficulty, it's hard to really justify putting something like this in, but I guess I would note that the last meeting there was a relative lack of discussion about a $9 pump station. We're also coming back tonight to talk about a sidewalk that the previous common council really should have said that she had put in now rather than putting it in later. The other part is, my question would be, is that the sidewalk is not constructed now, I guess when? I do believe that reconstruction is the best time to construct the sidewalk. It's probably going to be 54 to 60 years from now when we go back and reconstruct that road again. And is that something that should wait that long to get done? So I'm hoping that the town council will just rearrange its priorities to fund this project. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Good evening. John English. I live at 5358 West Princeton Drive. As many of you know, I also work for District Council 48 AFSCME, where I'm assigned to represent City of Franklin employees. First of all, I'd like to speak very briefly about agenda item G5. I'd ask that all of you support the recommendation that would provide a safe method for children, cyclists, and pedestrians to move between the subdivisions north of Rawson and the businesses located on Rawson, like Sendix, EMD, CVS, etc. This is an item that many of you have been hearing about for at least 5 or 6 years. I mean, heck, my oldest daughter actually now drives a car, so but she'd still would, on occasion, like to get her bicycle out or, you know, even walk. I'll encourage her to do that. It's something that needs to happen, and it should happen. I have seen the alternatives proposed by the city engineer, and I guess the one suggestion I'd like to make, and several couple other people have spoken about it tonight, is that you consider installing either a concrete sidewalk. The asphalt path is fine with me, but that be done in conjunction with the resurfacing of 51st Street. That'll certainly save money. I think it would be foolish to pay twice for items like barricading, mobilization, etc. And I think, quite honestly, it should just be added to the contract to resurface 51st Street. I'd now like to make some comments on item G11. I think the first thing this body needs to do is determine if you actually place a value on your employees. And if so, are you interested in treating them fairly and honorably? I, for one, as a resident of Franklin, value the efficient quality services that City of Franklin employees provide to me and my family. Personally, I was amazed at how quickly and capably they were actually able to go out and cut the snow in the blizzard we had in February, and I could get out of my driveway and drive around by late afternoon of that day. With the implementation of Act 10, local governments will have almost unilateral authority in determining the quality and standard of life for many of its employees. I don't take issue with many of the items in G10. However, and this is the proposed changes to the civil service rules. However, there are a few concerns I would like to call to your attention. First, Article 9 changes the threshold in imposing discipline from just cause to something called reasonable and appropriate, whatever that may be. Cause or just cause has been the standard in the state of Wisconsin for about the last 40 years. It has been very well defined by both arbitrators and, more importantly, circuit courts. I can't imagine why an employer that wants to treat its employees fairly would have issues with things like making sure that management actually investigated an allegation of misconduct before handing out discipline, or that the investigation actually found misconduct, or that the investigation was fair or objective. I'll admit that just cause forces a manager to actually know what is and isn't going on in the workplace, but I ask you, is that a bad thing? Additionally, the proposal has the final hearing body as a personnel committee. Wouldn't it make more sense to have them using a well-established, well-defined threshold for imposing employee discipline rather than an ambiguous term, reasonable and appropriate? I'd ask that you consider restoring just cause as the basis for discipline. Second, I'm concerned that Article 13, employee complaints, don't guarantee an employee a representative of their choosing during this process. I mean, it could, in fact, be a union rep. It could be a friend. It could be a coworker. It could be an attorney. I've spoken to Mr. Liberta about my concern on this, and he confirmed that, you know, his intent may be to deny an employee a representative in this process. I'll ask the rhetorical question of why. What's the problem with allowing someone who may actually have some training in advocating for employees, representing them if that employee wants one, and admittedly would pay for one if that was the case. Are we trying to set up a system that may actually give an employee a chance to prevail in a dispute when perhaps they should prevail? Or are we simply providing cover? I'll ask that you consider inserting language that would guarantee an employee a representative of their choosing if they so wish, similar to the language currently incorporated in Article 9. I must also admit that I'm a little puzzled by the position in this article. Since the 15 months that I've represented your employees, I haven't been involved in one such case. Finally, I have discussed my concerns with Mr. Liberta about Article 11, reduction of personnel. I understand the city's desire to eliminate strict seniority and move to a performance-based system for possible layoffs. My concern, quite honestly, is that the city is not ready for that system, at least not today. By his own admission, you know, Mr. Liberta has confirmed that the city has not really been keeping up with performance reviews or in updating the forms used for those reviews. The real concern comes in the area of physically demanding jobs like those in the Department of Public Works or potentially even fire or police. You need to implement a system that recognizes physical capabilities of different sexes and employees of different ages. Otherwise, you run a very real risk of potential age or sex discrimination disputes. That's something I don't think anyone wants. I know it's not Mr. Liberta's desire to discriminate against anyone of a protected class, but as the language is currently written, there is no guarantee that the Common Council will issue clear direction in the event of a layoff or that future personnel committees or even future directors of administration will understand the true intent of the proposed language. At this time, I would encourage you to continue layoffs on an inverse seniority system. At the time that this body is comfortable that a non-discriminatory review system is in place and functioning well, you can then safely change the rules again to incorporate a performance-based standard. Finally, I guess I'd ask, or at least like to suggest, this body consider laying this item over, potentially for one cycle, if you have an interest in changing or modifying anything in the current civil service proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. English, can I ask you a quick question? It's kind of rhetorical because I just saw you at St. Martin's Fair and I asked you the same question, but I only get one shot at this, or otherwise I have to veto the actions of the Common Council if I want to stop things. Having been a former vice president of Milwaukee District Council 48, I'm aware that you represent how many municipalities in southeastern Wisconsin?
Me personally or our organization?
Your organization.
Probably about 20 different municipal entities.
And how many of those have come forward and met with you on handbooks or changes to civil service rules and regulations?
That process is actually beginning as we speak. I know when I saw you Sunday. Yeah. Sunday I saw you, right?
Saturday.
Saturday. I did find out today that I do know now of one suburb that has actually adopted. I found that out today. Has adopted some civil service rules. I'll admit I haven't read them yet to see what's in there. But quite honestly, it's starting to happen now. If there are any in southeastern Wisconsin that have made modifications, it's a minority at this point.
Okay. In all of the contracts where you're the business agent, all those contracts are in place until at least December 31st of this year?
Here at Franklin?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So no changes may occur to any of those collective bargaining agreements until such time as the Act 10 and Act 32 actually kick in, right?
That's correct.
Which is until January 1st.
Well, as it relates to my two contracts and two groups of employees.
Okay.
That's correct.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Really a matter of safety even for vehicles, because if you're driving and you want to go around a cyclist or a walker or runner, you have to cross the yellow line into oncoming traffic to go around them. So it's not really just a luxury for a few people that want to get out there and cycle. It's really for everybody's safety. It's not really a luxury. It's more of a necessity.
I guess, well, before we get to the next speaker, because there was a number of people from Princeton Estates and all those other subdivisions that contacted me, just for the sake of the audience and taking it back, I've already talked to Craig Haskins about this. And that's that I've already directed the staff of the city to incorporate the dollars that would be needed for a path on the west side of the road into my recommended budget. So that will be appearing there. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? And there are seats up here. There's quite a few for the people in the back. If you want to, there's at least 8 seats up here.
Every no has to be addressed. John McLean, 789 Stonebrook Court, Franklin, Wisconsin. Member of the Plan Commission, Franklin Forward, EDC. That's what we are now, Franklin Forward, EDC.
Forward Franklin.
Member of the Plan Commission, Franklin, EDC, Safe Routes to School and Trails Committee, here to speak, obviously, in favor of sidewalks and or paths on 51st Street. The main reason that I'm in favor of this is not just because of the act of walking and how nice it is to build more of a community, but also we're talking about economic development here. And we're talking about a corner where we have Sendix, we have Andy's, which would like to fill some of that space there. And right now, it's a drive-through area. People are whizzing by as fast as they can. And I spent 3 or 4 days at the Safe Routes to School conference in Minneapolis, and the city paid for 2 meals. So I owe them a complete streets and context-sensitive design presentation, which I will be giving in the next couple of weeks, but I'll give you a couple of the highlights. We talked about the Green Book, and Mr. Bennett isn't here, unfortunately. I was going to try to impress him with the fact that now I know about this Green Book that the engineers use. And right now, what they're finding is that 10 to 11 foot lanes are just as safe as 12 foot lanes. And what we keep hearing is, we can't fit a path on either side or a sidewalk because we have to get the 12-foot lanes. But they're finding that they haven't found any reduction in safety with a 10 to 11-foot traffic lane with posted speeds of less than 45 miles an hour. And I don't think we live in a city that needs posted speeds any faster than that. Also, we learned about level of service C, which is what we adhere to here in Franklin. And what level of service C is, for people who don't know, it means that when you build a road, you are planning for maximum capacity of that road 20 years from the moment you open that road. So you're anticipating, based on past growth, how many cars are going to be traveling on this road. So you hear people say, well, it's got to be wide. A good road is a wide road. A narrow road is just a wide road in its infancy. We got to get it up to adolescence. But what they've also found is since 2005, U.S. vehicle miles traveled has been flat, so we can't judge by history how wide our streets have to be into the future. Also, the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials, these are the people who write the Green Book, and the Green Book is what we have to follow when we build these roads. They've decided that level of service C is wasteful. It costs a lot of money initially to lay down all that asphalt. It costs money then every week and month in the winter to plow that asphalt. They're actually talking about road diets, where you take some of the formerly wide roads that we have out there and actually narrow them to slow the speed and add space for non-vehicular traffic, mobility for all users. And these are not a bunch of bicyclists or a bunch of hippies out there talking. These are guys with engineering degrees who also ride bikes. We have a city engineer who rides a bike. At the Safe Routes to School conference, we learned a lot about standards versus recommendations. And right now, the recommendations are leaning towards an area where, in a place like 51st Street, you can build a narrower road for travel, for vehicular travel, and still get maximum service while maintaining the space you need for a present or future sidewalk. So if we are running into some kind of financial difficulty now and we can't put something in there, we can certainly design for the future without losing something according to the Green Book. So one of the things that many cities are doing, in fact, the city of La Crosse just passed a statute, it's called Complete Streets. And what Complete Streets does is it doesn't say that every time you build a road or resurface a road, you have to put a path in or you have to put a trail in. But what it says is that the initial plan, business as usual, is to put a trail in or to put a path in. And if the funds aren't available, you have to vote against it. And if you vote against it, there probably is a very good reason, a funding reason, or maybe in the next 2 years they're going to have the money there. But you plan for people who want to age in place in a community. You plan for people who can't drive but still need to get around. So in short, I support the 51st Street sidewalk extension and also the path north of Rawson. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing none, I'm going to close the citizens' comment period and turn back to the agenda. And with that, we have two certificates of recognition, and I'm going to ask the clerk if she would be kind enough to read one and the Common Council President to read the other because my voice is going. So I'll give you the Jeanette's. And Alderman Taylor, would you mind reading the first one? And maybe, Sue, could you have the bring both of the ladies up here? And when we say, it used to be a junior Miss contest, and it's been changed, and I think it's been changed appropriately so to distinguished young women of Wisconsin. I forgot exactly what your grade point averages are, but they're like beyond 4.0. Yeah. They're both just off the Richter scale as far as...
All right. Am I first or Madam Clerk? I'm first, I guess. Whereas the Distinguished Young Women Program and the largest and oldest national scholarship program for high school girls that promotes and rewards scholarship, leadership, and talent. And whereas the Distinguished Young Women Program inspires high school girls to develop their full individual potential by encouraging continued education, developing self-confidence, and showcasing excellence in academic achievement, physical fitness, performance skills, communication, and by creating opportunities to beneficially inspire the lives of others. Whereas Athelia, how do you pronounce that?
Yes, that's good.
Last name is?
Premski.
Being an accomplished young woman who has participated in the Distinguished Young Women Scholarship Program, and whereas being judged on interview, scholastics, talent, self-expression, and fitness, Athelia was named the 2012 Distinguished Young Woman of Franklin, who represent the city of Franklin at the Distinguished Young Women Wisconsin competition. And whereas Athelia's parents, the former Distinguished Young Women, the Distinguished Young Women Scholarship Committee, and the community are proud of Athelia's achievement. Now, therefore, I, Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor of the City of Franklin, do hereby wish to acknowledge and congratulate Athelia on her achievement of becoming Franklin's 2012 Distinguished Young Woman.
Madam Clerk, if you wouldn't mind.
Whereas the Distinguished Young Women Program is the largest and oldest national scholarship program for high school girls that promotes and rewards scholarships, leadership, and talent. And whereas the Distinguished Young Woman Program inspires high school girls to develop their full individual potential by encouraging continued education, developing self-confidence, and showcasing excellence in academic achievement, physical fitness, performance skills, communication, and by creating opportunities to beneficially inspire the lives of others. And whereas Jeanette Moreland, being an accomplished young woman who participated in the Distinguished Young Women Scholarship Program representing Racine, and whereas being judged on interview, scholastics, talent, self-expression, and fitness, was named the 2012 Distinguished Young Woman of Wisconsin, who will represent the state of Wisconsin at the National Distinguished Young Women Competition next June. And whereas Jeanette's parents, the former Distinguished Young Women, the Distinguished Young Women Scholarship Committee, and the community are proud of Jeanette's achievements. Now therefore, Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor of the City of Franklin, congratulates Jeanette Moreland on her achievement of becoming the 2012 Distinguished Young Woman of Wisconsin and encourages all Franklin residents to support Jeanette and the Distinguished Young Woman Program in the City of Franklin and the nation.
I was going to say, wouldn't it be great if, you know, for our Congress was replaced with ladies of this caliber? And Jeanette, what do you want to be when you when you're finished with school?
President.
President. So. All right, how about a nice round of applause? Thank you. Pretty good time, thanks to Alderman Skaronski and the Fair Commission. We had both the Wisconsin Band and the Clement Sausage, and they were playing Roll Out the Barrel, and the Sausages were dancing with the Distinguished Young Misses, and it was a good time by had by all. All right, next item is approval of regular meeting of August 16th, 2011.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. I'm losing my voice. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it, motion carries. Now I have approval of special meeting of August 29th, 2011.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it, motion carries. Going down the order of business, item F1 is a letter from Margaret Guderon. Saber Robotics Advisor for Franklin High School regarding Saber Robotics Team. I'm going to turn this over to Margaret. But before I do, for those of you that don't know, Franklin has an exceptional robotics team that's competed all over the place and has won some many awards. And the Community Development Authority entertained a presentation from the robotics organization, and we recommended that they come here and share their program with the Common Council, and that the Common Council refer this matter back to the Forward Franklin Committee, because I think it's very important that we as a community promote that we are also a robotics city, and that we have the future workers of America right in our backyard, and they're very, very proud of that fact. And maybe Alderman Taylor can expound upon that once you're done. Margaret?
Good evening, Council. My name is Margaret Guderon. I'm a high school science teacher at the high school here in Franklin. I'm here on behalf of Saber Robotics, First Team 2506. We'd like to thank the Community Development Authority for inviting us to present at your August meeting and then further suggesting that we forward our information to the Greater Council. First Robotics is actually a global program. We are excited to have it here in Franklin. The goal is to get students excited to participate in STEM careers. We design a robot based on certain constraints, and we also foster a relationship between high school students and currently practicing engineers in the community. We have mentors from mostly Milwaukee. Rockwell Engineering is one of our big supporters, as well as Krones from here in Franklin. Saber Robotics Team 2506 began at Franklin High School in 2007, and we have experienced increasing success since that time. We were able to reach nationals held in Atlanta, Georgia in 2010. We have also won awards for our website, our business plan, the spirit of our team, and our safety. We set higher goals each year and strive to meet them. I would like to mention one upcoming event in a couple of weeks. We will be doing a demonstration with some local teams at Harvest Fest at State Fair Park the weekend of September 24th and 25th. The event is free and open to the public. You just have to pay a parking fee unless you park on the street in the city of West Allis. We are excited to be a part of that. Generally, we present a demonstration at Summerfest, which we were not able to do this year. So Harvest Fest is where it's at. We are very excited to be part of Franklin High School and the greater Franklin community and look forward to forming a great partnership. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Alderman Taylor, do you have any comments?
Well, I can assure you that in one of our future meetings, I know the chairman of the Ford Franklin Committee is in the audience, and I would imagine he'd have no problem putting you guys on a future agenda and seeing how you can help us move this city forward and pretty much get the young involved, because the mayor is absolutely correct that it's the kids we have right now in the school system that are going to be future leaders, and they're our employment base, and they're going to be the ones creating a lot of things. So these are very talented kids, and it'll be good to have them involved.
Thank you. For those of you that may not know it, I mean, we talk about and you hear about manufacturing going abroad. One of the reasons that it has gone abroad is because other countries like Japan have developed what's called agile manufacturing, just-in-time manufacturing, CNC, computer numerical control programs and algorithms. We have great corporations here like Rockwell, and we have national laboratories, but Japanese, Chinese, Russians, and Germans have put in considerable amounts of money and technology to try and take the lead in manufacturing. Right in our backyard, we have a resource that may be able to bring back manufacturing to America. You know, one time, this area was called the machine shop of the world, and it would be great if we could ever get back to that. So if you ever need any help, Margaret, just let me know. All right, now I turn to a letter from Jim Reichel, president of the Villas Condominiums, Inc. Council members should have that in their packet. Mr. Reichel, tell me if I'm misrepresenting you, but we've had numerous meetings in the city, and as far as your organization is concerned, you're not exactly pleased with our current stand, and you wanted to voice your opinion and bring it to the Common Council. So,
to be honest, Mayor, I didn't know that the city had a stand on this one way or another. Our take on it is that these retaining walls are a serious failure and safety concern to all of the residents in our entire association. It's in our commons area. And it also, one of the failed retaining walls abuts a single-family residence on 35th Street that's very close to their play gym area for their children. Hopefully you have a copy of the letter as the mayor
Does everybody have the copy of the letters? Okay.
And then there were some pictures that went along, and I don't know if any of you have seen the pictures also. I mean, these balls are in serious failure.
They're right here.
Okay, great. Thank you. In order to understand this whole thing, we did a fair amount of research in finding out how this happened. How could we have walls installed like this? Since there's so much documentation, engineering-wise and plan-wise, for example, there's a developer's agreement. There's the project grading drawings. The City of Franklin United Development Ordinance, Unified Development Ordinance, the City of Franklin Design Standards and Construction Specifications. And then ultimately, there's at the end of the project, there's a record as-built drawings that are submitted for approval. And those record as-built drawings are very important because they would show all of the retaining walls as constructed. That they satisfied the documents that were in place, the city documents, law, if you will, that this Common Council, not necessarily this Common Council, but the Common Council put in place, could have been years ago. If we understand it correctly, in order for the payout to be made via the letter of credit performance bond, those drawings have to be submitted and approved and before any money can go out. And we have not received, or we asked for a copy of those record as-built drawings. And what we got from the city engineer's office is survey by Metropolitan Engineering that checked the grades, and it didn't refer to the retaining walls at all. And the reason this is important, that the retaining walls are considered as part of the grading drawings. They're clearly shown on the grading drawings. There's a legend there. There's also a note at the bottom of the page that references retaining walls that are constructed 3 feet and higher must have a fence. And it refers to single height walls and also terraced walls. So that's clearly in place on the documents. So I don't know if I need to string out and explain the all the documents that are in place. Well, I mean, I could take up some time here, but I really don't want to do that. I'd like to ask if there's any questions. Is there anything that's not clear to everyone about the documents and laws that the city has in place relative to retaining walls?
I have just a couple of real quick questions. That it's more pertaining to your August 17th letter, because we have sat down, at least I sat down once with you and Alderman Taylor, city engineer, city attorney, and I believe there was one other in the room. But in your letter of the 17th, you say, to date we have had a hard time understanding why the retaining walls that are in very close proximity to our buildings continue to fail every year. I guess my question is how long have they been failing?
Well, we first brought it to the city's attention when they did a survey in May of 2009, where there was an individual from the planning department that came out and did a survey of the landscaping that was incomplete. This had to do with the number of trees and that kind of thing. And at that time, during the walk around, we brought it to his attention that we had walls that were failing, and that it was very important that somebody address that. And he said he would pass that along. And whether that ever got passed along or not, obviously not, because it didn't get any attention. So that then prompted us to go ahead and see that year after year, after the freeze-thaw cycles, these boulders that were used for retaining walls that went as high as 11.5 feet in a 10-foot horizontal distance is just a mismatch for use. And it's very unsafe. It doesn't follow the installation did not follow any of the documents for safety, as shown on the drawings, requiring fencing. For engineered walls, it requires a submittal of a plan stamped and signed by an engineer. And then there's inspections that are required. And we haven't seen that any of this has been inspected. So we kind of think it slipped through the process here that's in place.
I guess
that's a conclusion that we came to.
I guess that would be my next question. In your same letter of August 17th, which I think is all included in all the aldermen's packets, page 2, second paragraph towards the end, it says, "It's evident that the city engineer has not accepted the retaining walls." And I guess I would ask you, who decided to go ahead with the construction of the retaining walls without the city engineers accepting the retaining walls, as you state in the letter? I also understand that your association has had to assume the management of the condominiums over a period of
time. Yes, that's correct, and that happened early in the 09.
Was that the original developer that
decided
to go ahead?
Well, you have to go back to the original developer's agreement with the city of Franklin, which references all these documents that are in place relative to retaining walls. And they require submittals for the construction process. And those submittals then get approved or disapproved. And for whatever reason, I don't know that the submittal came in for retaining walls to the engineering office as required. I don't know if I answered your question or not, but
do you know when
These walls were built prior to 07.
07?
Yeah, prior to.
Okay. I guess the last one would be, as you may or may not know, I used to be a grievance hearing officer, so I was...
Sure.
So what's the remedy that your association is looking for? I'll just preface it by saying this. I use this phrase all the time, and that's that none of us sitting up here, this is not our money that we're talking about. This is the taxpayers' money.
Sure.
So I mean,
our association paid over $1.6 million in the last 4 years in property taxes, so we're very much taxpayers. What we're looking for is the city to accept these walls, because it's obvious that they have not done that yet. The city engineer has not accepted it. The construction period is still open. And from that, you can glean, according to the developer's agreement, which involves the city of Franklin, the developer, and also the surety, which in this case was North Shore Bank, You can glean from that the city engineer has the right to extend and adjust the performance bond. And since the work is incomplete, the construction period for that part of the work is still open. And so we had recommended that in our meetings that the city engineer contact the bank and work something out.
To date,
I got a letter from Mr. Bennett that basically said, we contacted the bank and they don't want to meet.
Okay.
And, of course, our association, we weren't party to any of this agreement. All we know that we're on the receiving end of some failing retaining walls that are seriously defective, according to the documents. They don't satisfy the safety side of things with a fence at the top to prevent fall protection. We've had residents that have installed fence on their own to protect their own grandchildren from getting hurt. If you look at these walls, I mean, we also have a landscape maintenance firm that doesn't want to go near them because they're afraid they're going to get hurt. I mean, this is a serious issue that has not been addressed, and that's the reason why we petitioned here tonight. We're hoping to get your help and the insight with that. I say we're taxpayers also. So,
great, Alderman Olson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, Mr. Reichel knows from which he speaks. I don't need to go through his qualifications, but what he says, believe him. And you've done a few contracts, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah. I have a whole bunch of issues based on the letters that Mr. Reichel and the association have provided.
Can you call me, please?
Sure. I have some concerns about what appears to be failures to pretty strong word. Some gaps in the way we do things in the city. I'm not sure that we did. I'm not sure that we didn't. The problem is we don't have documentation that says we did or didn't. Mr. Reichel suggests that perhaps we accept these retaining walls, but if they're defective, it's not appropriate for us to accept them. It's appropriate for us to reject them. And if we don't have the construction drawings, the construction approval drawings, and we don't have the as-builts, I don't know how you'd have as-builts if you don't have the pre-construction drawings. There's a whole bunch of issues here, Mr. Mayor, that I think you need to get with staff and come back to the council with. Here's where our errors were, here's where we're going to fix them, and here's what we can do for the condominium association. Now, having said all of that, it's going to be a relatively routine statement for me tonight. We have between a $400,000 and $1 million problem to fix in next year's budget, depending on who you talk to, how you juggle the books. So we don't have money to throw around, but, and as some of you know, I was in charge of a condominium association right behind us that had similar issues, but with structural walls. We bit the bullet, we ended up filing a lawsuit, we prevailed, fortunately. So, you know, got to do what we got to do, but the city, I don't think, is a bottomless pit of money. Having said that, let's figure out where it went wrong.
Alderman Skraski.
Well, along with Mr. Alderman Olson, I think what we should do is table this matter for the time being, bring this matter back and bring the staff for for further review and take a look at where all the things are lying and the paperwork and everything else.
Is that a motion?
Yes, that's a motion.
Is there a second?
Do we have a timetable on that?
I would say within 60 days.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Just as a sidebar, I mean, you've obviously seen the pictures here, how serious this is. I mean, this is a threat to safety and health, flat out. So time is of the essence to do something here.
Okay, the motion on the floor has been seconded. I think Alderman Taylor had his hand up first, and then Alderman Sullivan.
Well, I know there's been some concerns that we haven't done anything on this or haven't looked at this. I do believe maybe the city attorney can, if he's willing to, has looked at it somewhat. I know we've been extremely busy with staff. Unfortunately, as much as staff works with us all, sometimes our issues get pushed a little bit off to the side. And we've been working on a $41 million sewer project, and that's where 90% of our effort has been as a city. And so I know that I know, Jim, you've wished this has been sooner an answer.
Sure. I mean, this started back in 09, Alderman Taylor. I mean, we've been trying to get attention via letters and meetings, and we've received no action and feedback whatsoever. The feedback that we did get were from the engineering department were things that didn't even pertain to retaining walls.
Well, so I know that
this is a serious oversight.
Oh, yeah. Back in May, you're absolutely correct, May of 2009, you did send me an email with a list of deficiencies, 13 deficiencies. That was one of the 13 that I think in looking at was probably one of the only ones that has not been addressed. Then I looked through all the correspondence back and forth, and the focus of the association, at least the membership, the leadership, has been the landscaping and the streets. That was the biggest issue throughout, and I've gone through all the emails, and once in a while the landscape, the retaining wall would be thrown out, but not really until this May, or actually I think you called me in March and said, hey, we got to look at something here. I know that based on the emails I saw, there was one reference to the fact that it was repaired. The walls have already been repaired?
Well, if you look at the pictures, they have a history behind them, starting at 09 and progressing until currently. And if you'll notice that the seriousness of those walls get worse as time goes on.
I know that.
So, it's become a very, very serious issue now. We had a few boulders that were falling loose back in 09, which you have pictures of. But it's become a very serious issue now.
I know that in 2009, something was serious enough for you to hire an attorney, correct, and send Mr. Liberto a letter regarding...
That had nothing to do with retaining.
No, I know.
That was entirely different agenda.
It was landscaping and...
Yeah, our presentation here is focused on retaining walls. And so I think we need to stay focused on
that. The issue
that
of us pushing it off is that's what I'm trying to address, that staff has addressed a lot of the issues. Just this one, we haven't gotten the answer that you wanted so far.
Sure. And we appreciate your assistance with that, no question. But if you look at it from a resident standpoint, this was nothing more than what everybody paid for and expected.
So, Mr. City Attorney, is there anything that you can... I know 60 days seems like a long time, and I think we can always come back sooner if we can get an answer, so it doesn't have to come back in 60 days, but I think that's the maximum. But, Mr. City Attorney, is there anything that you can discuss or anything that you want me to share with the residents tonight, or do we still need to look at it?
The City Attorney?
Well, I can give you pretty much the whole story orally here, and if somebody wants it in writing, I was ready to do that like a day or two or 3 days before Mr. Reichel asked the mayor to appear on the common council agenda. My advice at that time would have been that it shouldn't go on a common council agenda, and I'll tell you why. Number one, Mr. Bennett's not here. Mr. Bennett was in all of the meetings back in 2009, and we met with the Homeowners Association as well as the involved banks and addressed pretty much everything out there, but not everything. And that somewhere towards the end of the year, we received an email from the association thanking the city staff, as well as Sullivan and Taylor, for the city's help on this. And really what it was a unique situation in unique times where you had a development that didn't proceed to fruition because of the economy. The developer filed personal bankruptcy, and the properties were in foreclosure. Bottom line here, and the city engineer repeated this throughout, and he misspoke when he said it, but what he said from day one was that the city does not regulate retaining walls. What he should have said was the city does not regulate retaining walls on private property. City development agreements provide for, quote, public improvements, and the security under the development agreements are for public improvements with one exception, and that's landscaping. Somewhere when the Unified Development Ordinance was created back in 1998, the city planner at the time requested that there be a provision for financial security, meaning letter of credit, for landscaping, because a lot of developers weren't following through with landscaping, which caused a lot of problems. So within the listed public improvements, in the both or however many development agreements there were for Franklin Oaks and Villas, landscaping was included along with grading. Grading does not include retaining walls.
Yes, it does. In this case, it does.
City engineer has been the city engineer for 42 years and has served as the chairman of almost every municipal civil engineering board in the state over that time, will say that the retaining walls appeared on the plans, the grading plans.
The grading drawings makes the part of grading.
The city did not review or approve the retaining walls drawn on the grading plans because it was not necessary. Those were an add-on. They were unnecessary under the city code for
Can we have order? We have
please.
We listened to the presenter. I think that the alderman has already said that there's been numerous attempts to rectify things that the developer left the association with. The city attorney is trying to explain. City attorney.
For review and approval of the grades, the height at the top of the retaining wall where it goes towards any building pad would be measured along with the grade of the rest of the parcel, not the retaining wall itself. It's not a public improvement. It's not on public property. After we, and in April, that was all, we met at end of April, I think the last week of April. Sum and substance of that meeting from staff was the city engineer over and over again said that. What I also said was, didn't this come up when we had all these issues 2 years ago? And that question, I asked that three or four times. And one point I made at the meeting was, the claim is that there's negligent inspection here. And I said, I think the statute of limitations on negligent inspection is 1 year. So ultimately, that was the answer. And the thought was, well, perhaps the association ought to make a claim, because at the end of the meeting, the answer from staff was, no, the city's not responsible for this. And ultimately, the mayor said, well, I know the city attorney's got a lot to do, but maybe he can look at all this. And it took a few months where there's something without a deadline at the next night's meeting, or to go downtown for an MMSD meeting or a Milwaukee County meeting, and 10, 12 hours a day. And I think I'm about 6 weeks over budget, which I won't get paid for, through this date in 2011. So I'm not going to apologize for being late on it, because I told you at that meeting, okay, it'll take time. But the answer pretty much was, wasn't this all addressed 2 years ago, where the city did whatever it could to make this work, and it sure seemed like everybody was happy. So ultimately, I got to it. Here's what I had forgotten at the meeting in the end of April. the association, and at the meeting, I pointed to some of the pictures that you handed out that were dated May 2009. So this transpired right when all these meetings started. The first meeting was held at the end of April, and I think with the association also. So when I got to it, I had a recollection when I was doing the annual audit letters for the city. I went through the file, and on the list of city claims, there was a note that the letter from Lixon Hensel dated July 16th, 2009, was sent up to the insurance company, even though it wasn't in the form of a legal notice of circumstances of claim or notice of claim. So I said, well, wait a minute. This was all brought up in 2009. Nonetheless, I tried to engage the city's insurer because the claim here is one of negligent inspection. City's insurer won't get involved because a legal claim was not filed against the municipality, which under law forever and a day, if you want to make a claim against the municipality within 120 days after you discover a potential claim, you send in notice of circumstances, and then you have to send in an itemized claim. None of that's occurred, and like I was saying, at the end of April, didn't all this come up back in 2009, and it was there.
Our association is small in the scheme of numbers. We were forced to go ahead and elect the board of directors when there was a default by the developer. The actual default by the developer was early in 2010. That's when the default was finalized. So not before that time, he could have come back at any time and gone ahead and made good. So really nothing happens until after that time where there's a legal default by the developer. That being said, we had plenty of communication about problems there, even face-to-face with the city representative on site. The documentation that's in place, you have to start with a developer's agreement. And within a developer's agreement, then the string of other that leads you into the city law that they're in place for retaining walls does not differentiate about private, non-private. It says all retaining walls.
If I might,
the city attorney.
The default by the developer was not in 2010. That's why we were having meetings with the association and the banks in 2009 when the foreclosures had already occurred. Bankruptcy was filed. If you read verbatim the city code citation or the sections that you listed in your letters, you will see the words public improvements. If you read the entire unified development ordinance and the entire municipal code, the code of the city, you will find retaining walls mentioned twice. Once in the UDO, once in the municipal code. And both of those pertain to retaining walls for trees that are proximate to development, as in a median strip or something. That's it. What you keep referring to is section 6.9 of the development specifications. The development specifications are not code. They are incorporated into the city development agreement. And the city development agreement is there for public improvements on public property and can also secure landscaping, not retaining walls. Take one step back. City engineer says the city does not inspect retaining walls on private property. City engineer has said there are no pre-construction submittal drawings for these retaining walls because the city does not regulate them. Keep asking for the pre-construction plans. There are none. The city doesn't regulate it. What the approval note should have said on the grading plan was approved for grading plan purposes, not approving structure of retaining walls, not regulated under city code. That's what's missing here. There are no as-built plans for the retaining walls, because the city does not regulate those retaining walls on private property. And that was the answer, and you asked for those repeatedly. There are none, because the city didn't inspect it. If the grading plan came in without the retaining walls So whoever drew the grading plan in the private sector saw the design specifications and just put those specs in there, obviously assuming that the city regulated them. It wasn't the city that required those specifications for public improvement retaining walls to be put on that plan. So the city never inspected it. No, the city never regulated it. No, the city never required certified by a professional engineer pre-construction drawings or as-built plans after the fact because the city doesn't regulate it. And the city's insurance company won't get involved on a claim of negligent inspection, even though the city engineer would testify that no inspection occurred because the city doesn't regulate these type of or these retaining walls on private property. The city's insurance company won't get involved because a claim was never made for this negligence.
Mr. Mayor, withdraw my second.
Okay, the second has been withdrawn. The motion fails for lack of a second. Alderman Wilhelm? I'm sorry, Alderman Solomon was next in Alderman Wilhelm. I had recognized him.
We have the city attorney here. We have a representative from the engineering department and yourself, Jim. Can we determine what's left of the letter of credit? I realize this council approved the final lift of the public improvements for the streets, and that came from the letter of credit. I realize that some of the landscaping trees were taken from the letter of credit. What is left in the letter of credit?
You know, that all of this is out of our control. We're basically innocent bystanders, basically hoping and praying that the city does the right thing relative to the agreements that they have in place. We didn't sign any contracts with anybody. This was all in the hands of the city, the bank, Surety, and the developer. And the documents are in place that basically set all of that. And again, if it would be very, it would be for the convenience, I guess, of the government to go ahead and disregard the documents that are in place for this, like the Unified Development Ordinance, the standards and construction specifications, the design standards and construction specifications for that's law within the city of Franklin.
So you don't know how much, if anything, is left in the security?
One thing I believe I know is that
the city attorney wanted to address your question.
Okay, thank you.
I think what Mr. Bennett said was about $7,000 because it's been reduced further starting in 2009 on all of these finished Susanna Court. I know there were a couple of private drives, I think, that the association has had requested after that, and I think it's down to about $7,000. And all of that, here's what's happening, required agreement with the bank and approval by the common council, and I think it was here at least twice in 2009 for that authority.
Well, it appears that the developer's agreement allows the city engineer, who has the final say on this, to accept the work. If the construction period is still open and the letter of credit has not been closed out, the city engineer can then go ahead and modify, extend as needed for the completion of the work. This is a surety bond, a performance bond that's provided, and it's in place for a reason, so that all of the work, not just part of it, all of the work that's on the drawings that were approved by the city of Franklin for this project has to be in place and approved. And that's written many, many times in the documents.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Alderman Skransky's motion. The motion had failed. It would have to have a motion or a similar motion made.
I would like to restate my motion. It's prior and it stands as it was already given into the public record. Sir, that it would be retained back to staff for 60 days to investigate all the claims and the documents.
Your second. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm, I believe, was next, and then Alderman Wilson.
Well, I guess hopefully there's a lesson to be learned here from the city's point of view as well. I feel really bad for the people. I live in a condo. I can't imagine how we'd bail ourselves out of something like this. And there should be some things in place for this type of thing. I don't know what happened to the letter of credit. But, you know, I have to tell you, sir, when this development came forward, it was a bad project from the get-go, because I remember walking the site. And the very first plat that I still have in my basement shows an incorrect acreage, so they squeeze more lots out of here. And I'm the one who called that to the attention of the city. So I know there were some things that were not right with this project. And this does not surprise me at all. It really doesn't. And it's really sad. Because these aren't the things that should be slipping through the cracks and going on the taxpayers. It really isn't. And
Our point is it doesn't have to.
And
there are options for the city.
I don't know what those options are, so I will support the motion to have it come back. I guess I would ask for amendment that if it could be brought back sooner than 60 days instead of the flat-out 60 days that we try to do this, because snow's going to fall pretty soon. Snow's going to fall pretty soon, and the ice is going to hit those. And I don't know why anybody in their right mind would design boulders that size on that type of angle. I went through there, and I thought regardless if this is failing or not, it's not a safe situation. It was a poor design from the get-go, and that had to have gone through at least the Plan Commission, some type of design. Someone should have looked at it.
Which is hard to understand because there's documents in place to cover all
that. Right. So I'll support the motion, and I would like to see at least some answers a little bit sooner because of the snowfall, if that would be appropriate.
Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your condominium association is a legal entity. Do you know who the contractor is that constructed that wall?
Again,
I hate to do this.
We didn't have a contract, Alderman Olson. We didn't have a contract with any of the people there.
I didn't say.
Do we know who did it?
Yes.
Who installed the retaining wall? Sure.
My suggestion, regardless of all of this, is to instantaneously file a lawsuit against them. Sorry, Jim. Because obviously, as you look at the drawings, you don't put big boulders on top of little boulders.
But see, we're trying to help here. We're trying to help the city with something that we had no control over whatsoever.
Well,
we aren't going to spend the dollars to sue somebody for this because it was already under the city's control.
There comes a time in every condominium's life, and by every condominium, I mean every condominium. I speak from experience. City can't protect you. City's not allowed to protect you. The state can't do anything. You've got to take control of your own situation and start filing lawsuits. It's the only way you're going to get satisfaction. I listen to what the city attorney has said here, and his differentiation is clear, and it's perfectly understandable to me. Public property versus private property and what we have control over. This is private property. We have no control over that. I got to rely on my city engineer. I mean, he's been in this business a lot longer.
It didn't become private property until the first occupancy was allowed.
Well, I got to rely on him.
I understand.
And
we would be glad to come forward and offer as much help as we can for anything here. I think what really needs to be done is to understand and string together all the documents that were in place for this agreement. And from what I can glean, and I've spent hours and hours on this thing trying to piece it together. From what I can glean, the construction period is still open for this project. It has not been formally closed out. And with that in mind, that means that the city can go back and adjust and amend the letter of credit that's available as a performance bond. This is a serious issue relative to handling a bond. It guarantees performance for everything, not just little pieces of it. And the construction period is still open.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Alderman Skronsky and Alderman Taylor.
Well, I definitely support the motion, but I would hope that it could be sooner, obviously. And I think the association deserves something in writing. because there's been a lot of conversation we've had over the
there
phone.
Has.
You know, and I've given you my advice numerous times of what it may take to maybe kick us in the butt to get it moving quicker, and that would maybe found a claim or something with the city. But from the very beginning, when I came to the association meeting in November of 08, and we started talking about some of this stuff, and then we really, you guys put your organization together and sent me the list of some of the issues. You know, I've said time and time again that we have great people that moved in there that signed up for a raw deal. And they purchased on their own free will to live in that area, and they did not expect this. They did not expect a developer to basically give them the shaft and leave a mess behind. And I believe up until this point, whether you like it or not, we've done everything that we can. And there may be a point where we just disagree. And the city attorney, you know, Jim, I've read everything you sent to me. And, you know, you make a very good case, but there's always two sides to every story. And I also have to rely on the city attorney because, you know, we have, you know, I have 6,000 people I represent. We have 35,000 people to think about. We can't just cut a check for $150,000. And I know that's what it's going to take to fix this. The numbers I've seen in the email, that's what it's going to cost. And, you know, yet we just don't have deep pockets to just throw money around. But I think to this point we have done everything we can, maybe not as quickly as you would liked it, but we've got our priorities, unfortunately, that yours has taken, you know, a back seat. But we will get you an answer, we'll get it in writing, and that way you know at least where the city's position is.
Alderman Skransky, and then I'm going to try and push for a vote because we have a lot of people on other issues here.
No, my motion would stand on it because there are so many things going on, and we're going to go through this thing very meticulously. And I understand construction time, historical, you know, my business too. That let's get it right. If we're going to go through this meticulously, the city attorney has a lot of things on his plate. This is a very important issue. We respect you coming in and you're the people we represent. And I think it's only prudent to have that time if it can be earlier. I'm sure it'll be earlier because we just soon get it off the plate, get it discussed, and get on with life. So I'm asking to call for the question.
I just want to explain something. The city attorney said...
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
He called for the question.
Called for the question?
I'll second it.
It's been... his motion called the question. It's been seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed on the motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Clarification of the motion.
Madam Clerk, can you please read back the motion?
I guess the clarification was if it included no later than 60 days.
Alderman Skransky moved to direct staff to investigate claims and documents regarding the Villas condominium's retaining walls and return to the Common Council no later than 60 days.
Correct.
Is that correct? And Alderman Solomon, you were the second?
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Just one thing on this, and that's that the city attorney, during the course of his dialogue, back and forth. First of all, I think you can see very clearly that the city attorney is more than aware of this issue. Spent considerable amount of time. The staff has spent a considerable amount of time on this. But he said that probably wouldn't recommend that this go on a council agenda. The only reason that I allowed this to be on a council agenda is one, out of respect for you, and Alderman Solomon's correct, or Alderman Olson's correct. I understand your reputation and you've been around this community for a long time. Two, we have had, since John McCain and Barack Obama suspended their presidential campaigns to go back to Washington when we had this financial crisis where the stock market went just like this, the whole world changed around here. And developers who had these projects, some of which went bankrupt, have basically left people all over this country holding the bag. Your association, Prairie Grass Preserve, we probably have eight or nine different condo associations, Caitlin Woods, one after another, where the people, association members, have come to the city because people either just left town, couldn't find them, defaulted on loans, went bankrupt, and all of these associations have all these problems. I think I can speak for all the council members here and myself. All of us are as angry as you are about what has transpired. We're trying to do everything we possibly can to help. but there are limitations in that help. And then we get into what Alderman Olson said is there's the piece about the responsibility of the condo associations and the city. And I know Alderman Taylor has bent over backwards. He dragged me out to your site on, I think, a Saturday afternoon and had me walk the association, point out everything that needed to be corrected. And we tried our best to correct almost everything. But I want you to understand that the reason I put this on the agenda is I understand you have a membership. And it's a lot better for me just to tell you and through you to your membership that we're just as angry as you are at all of these developers defaulting on all of these things and just leaving people holding the bag. So.
Sure. If I could just reiterate about the documents that are in place and relative to the agreement that's in place with the surety. The surety is there for a reason, and that is to go ahead and pick up the pieces upon default. It is a performance bond, and it's meant to go ahead and cover everything until it's complete, until the work is complete and approved. And if you go through the documents and string them all together relative to retaining walls, I believe you come to the conclusion that the work has not been accepted by the city attorney, that the letter of credit performance bond is still in the open construction period because it has not been formally closed out. This does not need to be passed on to any taxpayers. The surety is in place again to cover this. So, okay. If our association, myself, can be of any assistance to help clarity with this and what we see in the documents with the city, we'd be glad to help, because ultimately I think there's a problem here that is not going to go away. Whether it's with our condo association or others going forward, it needs to be addressed and cleared up. So thank you for your time.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Mayor, on the consent agenda items, since we have a letter of credit, could we take that one separately? I had a question on that one. And also, since there's a lot of people here for...
We're going to the next item on the agenda.
Oh, thank you.
Since there's a lot of people here on item G5, could we take that right away so the people...
All right, what did you want separate action on?
The release of credit on E2 on the consent agenda, just because it is a release of credit. And then also I'm requesting G5 to follow after consent agenda.
No, you folks got to stay through the whole meeting.
Any objections?
Which item now is this?
Right. It's 2B. It's the release of letter credit.
Everything else is on the... Is there a motion to accept and pass the consent agenda except for item 2B?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Then moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now on item 2B, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, the only thing I had on 2B was, because it was a letter of credit, and the city attorney did just mention about letter of credit for landscaping, and there was a mention about the trees being planted. Is there enough in there to cover what the Unified Development Ordinance requires for replanting of the trees that should die, since the trees were just placed in this unit, because that's what the, I think it was engineering department had said, that they were just planted. And so they, according to the Unified Development Ordinance, they have to keep them alive for X amount of years. Is that release credit going to cover that?
Mr. Romines?
Just to say that it's the warranty on the trees. The nursery, the provider, gives a year, and you know we would, after a year, assess them to make sure that they are... really? would assess after that year to make sure that they're still alive, vital, and growing. Acceptance would occur at that point.
And what happens if we miss that? Because we've done that in the past where we've missed the looking at that.
I think we're quite religious in doing, you know, checking on those trees. Giving that assurance that it will be reviewed.
There's no assurance that it will be reviewed? Or just
No, I'm saying that they will be reviewed prior to the year, you know, the year's warranty being up.
And if they should go bankrupt, and we release the credit. Who takes care of that?
If the nursery would go bankrupt?
Anyone who's involved would release the credit.
It could be our responsibility if we close out the letter of credit, but in good faith, it's one element of the public, public things.
Because we had the same thing happen in my area in the Woodlands, where they did that mitigation. No one watered them. They all died. It was a total waste of money, and no one came back and had them replace anything. So I'm just bringing that up. It's not in my district, and it's up to the aldermen that they should be aware of that.
Mr. Mayor, too, just to...
Mr. Olmeyer.
The Currys are the developers and, have a vested interest in these two large, buildings with potential of further growth. I think they would be highly responsible in this case. They're a live-in, developer, so to speak.
Alderman Skronsky and Alderman Taylor.
Yeah, I was just questioning. I think this is in Alderman Taylor's district, and I was running, seeing that he didn't make the request, why the other alderman is in his district. So that's all. Thank
Alderman
you.
Taylor?
Well, I'll make a motion to approve. I understand Alderman Williams' concerns, and every time I drive down 51st Street in front of Ascendix, I look at all the dead stuff in the middle of the median. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I don't want to get in that situation. But the owner of this development is also one of my constituents, lives on 76th Street, well respected in the community, and I would be shocked if he would ever let that turn to a state of disrepair. They just spend a bunch of money on the paving and that. So I make a motion to approve, which would be a motion to authorize staff to release a letter of credit from Associated Bank dated September 12, 2000 for Elizabeth Heights development as recommended by the city engineer.
Second. Alderman Olson seconded the motion. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries.
I have a request for G5. Because there's a lot of people here for that.
Yes,
most
that
of the
one.
People that
okay.
are left are here for that item.
There's a request to take up item G5. Any problems with that? I don't have any. Recommendation 2012 capital funding for an asphalt path west side of South 51st Street, north of Ross and Avenue. The west side of South 50. Okay. Alderman Schmidt.
Make a motion to approve funding for an asphalt path on the west side of South 51st Street, north of Ross and Avenue. An estimated cost of $123,000 to be placed into the capital improvement fund for 2012.
So not to approve the funding, but to place it into the capital improvement fund for 2012.
Correct.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
And under discussion, Alderman Solomon.
I think you got the cart before the horse here. You can put it in a future budget, but we don't have any idea whether there's going to be dollars for the road reconstruction and or $125,000 for the path. That's going to be up to the mayor and to the finance committee as we move the project forward. I had no problem with putting it in a capital improvement plan. And if the dollars are there, that's fine. But there may be other areas that also need it.
Just to address your question, Alderman, I am and have directed staff to include funding for an asphalt path on the west side of 51st Street in my recommended budget to the Finance Committee.
That's fine, but the comments that I heard from the citizens were that it should be put in when the street goes in. There's no guarantee that the street's going to go in as we move forward with the
That is not my desire. My desire is to get a path in as soon as possible. If it is in conjunction with the street, so much the better. Alderman Olson?
Oh, well, I was about to say this motion is not necessary given the actions of the mayor, but given what you just said, I'm going to support the motion because, as I said before, $400,000, $1 million problem. We can compound it and go ahead and do a sidewalk without doing the street, or we can do what makes good sense and do the sidewalk at the same time as the street. However, having said that, Alderman Schmidt, your motion was to approve the funding. And I would urge you to check the wording of your motion before we make a vote on it, because if you say approve the funding, there ain't no way I'm going to support it. I don't think anybody else in the council would either.
I would, just to clarify, I think that the motion may be more appropriate to recommend that these dollars be placed into the 2012 recommended annual budget.
And I would support that. So if I may, Mr. Mayor, I suggest a motion, as you did, to refer this matter to the mayor to include funds for this project in this capital request for the 2012 budget.
And I would ask you to rescind your previous motion.
All right, recommendation right there on the bottom page 83.
Right. So it's stated that inclusion of alternative 4. That was the original recommendation from the worked on with the engineering department.
So, Alderman Schmidt, is your recommendation?
Olson, that pretty much covers what you said, isn't it? Recommendation at the bottom of the page.
That's here.
Sure.
Okay. Is that your motion?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second?
There's a second. That's how I understood it, except it wasn't that
Under discussion, Alderman Taylor.
Well, we all know that this needs to happen. I mean, it is a very well-traveled road. There's a lot of pedestrian traffic. We've heard all about economic development and getting people from those subdivisions to that area so you can help out those local businesses. I guess my only concern, and the mayor said it's going to get in the budget, and so that he'll find a way to, something will have to go if that goes in. We know that. There's only so much money to go around. It would make sense, obviously, to do it at the same time we do the road, which means that if the road doesn't go in, and how much road on is that road going to cost?
It's estimated at $180,000.
And that road, is that going to be two lanes?
Yes.
Pulverized?
The main is two lanes, yes.
And what's the life expectancy of that road?
Given the traffic, it's 25 years, 20 to 25.
And will this path be put in that's how long that path will last then also roughly, you think? So when we have to look at this road 20, 25 years from now, at future traffic counts and potentially being a four-lane road or whatever it comes back, I won't be here. But whatever it's supposed to end up being 40 years, 20 years from now.
It would have a similar life.
Okay.
For different reasons.
The last thing I want to do is put in a road and tear this thing up 5 years later.
I don't know who had their hand up first, Alderman Olson. With an arm wrestle. Alderman Olson.
That's kind of you. Here we go again. We're going to put, this is for future, but we're going to put a path on the east side of 51st Street.
West.
I'm sorry. West side of 51st, thank you very much because it's important to the comment. On the west side of 51st Street, north of Rawson Avenue. Exactly my point. It's on the east side, on south of Rawson Avenue. So, one of these days we'll connect our sidewalks and make them sensible. I've got this on Forest Meadows right there. And you know what the kids do? They walk in the street, not on the sidewalk, because it's on the same side of the street that they want to walk on. This doesn't make any sense putting it on the east side of the street.
West side.
I'm directionally challenged.
It's
on the wrong side.
Well, the issue is, no matter where you put it, you got to cross Rawson Avenue if you want to get to the other section. And if you're crossing Rawson Avenue, there's push buttons and crossways to cross there. But it helps the people in the Princeton area get to the Sendix. It also, if we stripe this like every other community, we can make a striped path for the other people on the other side to cross over. So all the other area the people on the other side, on the east side, can benefit from this at the lowest cost possible because we don't have to do it on both sides. And if we do it on the other side, we're going to have more trees, we have right away, and the church wants this, so then you're going to tell the church, well, you can't have it, we're going to put it on this side. So we looked at this, I looked at what Ron had, I looked at what Doug had, and I you know, I'm sure my constituents would like it on their side of the road too, but we're trying to do something that is cost effective, fits in with the road design, doesn't have to be ripped out too soon, doesn't put in a road that's overbuilt before it's necessary that we have to maintain, doesn't put in a road that's built with curb and gutter that has to be torn out in a little while. This option seems to fit the best. If you look, Mr. Bennett, I specifically sent him an email and asked him, Jack, what would be your design recommendation? Now, we just sat here for, I don't know, 45 minutes talking about how great our city engineer is and how much we respect him and all of his knowledge. And now we're saying he doesn't know what he's talking about, because his recommendation is, I think the best option would be resurface the road to the same width and install left turn lanes at the public street intersection. Maybe take down the hill north of the church. We would use the local program funds for the street construction. If funds are available, then I think the best option would be a multi-use trail on the west side. That's from our engineer. I'm just going by, we got to trust our engineer. We got to trust our city attorney. So...
Hey,
that's what they told me.
You got the order.
Yeah, be quiet. Well,
Alderman Olson, did you have your hand up? Alderman Solomon.
I'm going to go back to the putting this into the budget, and I understand what you're saying, Mr. Mayor, but I cannot support this at this time. I'd have to wait and see what the budget looks like, because if you think I'm going to lay off police officers and firefighters or staff or staff to come up with this $125,000, you're wrong. I will not support it. I may support it come November when we look at the budget, but right now it's too much, much too soon.
Well, as I said to you this morning, we have no intentions whatsoever of eliminating any police or firefighter positions. Alderman Schmidt?
I know this has been a conversation that's been going on long before I was an alderman, and one of the reasons that I felt to emphasize trying to do this for in next year is because the resurfacing of 51st Street put into the road improvement fund for next year. That's one of the main projects that the engineering department was looking at doing. It seemed to be most cost-effective to do it now. I don't know. I've had emails, I've had phone calls from everyone 100% in support of doing this. Whether they're east side or west side of the street, they want this done, and it seems to be most cost-effective if we can parlay this in to doing it at the same time that the road is resurfaced. I know there are some hurdles that Ron showed me that the route where it has to be platformed and stuff, but this is relatively speaking more economical than any of the other alternatives. And I know if we're willing to commit $40 million to putting in a sewer in the southwest, it will have some benefit maybe 5-10 years down the road. To me, this looks like a for the bikers, the joggers, and the walkers, this is like unclogging a drain at a minimal amount of money. So that's why I'm on record for supporting this, and I hope that it goes through.
Alderman Olson.
Well, I just want to remind my colleagues that when Pute's Road was before us, they all wanted the sidewalk put in right now. But there seems to be six people on this council that said, no, we don't do it that way. We do it when we mobilize everyone's for the road. So I'm all in favor of looking at it when time comes to rebuild the road. You want to do it without a road reconstruction project, I will scream bloody murder. I'm going to say, where is the sidewalk on Pute's? Which, by the way, for everybody's record, Alderman Schmidt, has been on the docket for a lot longer than 51st Street, either the reconstruction or any sidewalk. So let's keep everything in focus here.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
No.
Alderman Wilkow.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skrantz.
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Mayor.
Alderman Wilhelm.
For Alderman Olson's benefit, I'll make a second motion that ties this to the construction of 51st Street.
Second.
And that way it will get done at that time.
Second.
Okay. I just want to understand the motion.
I don't know, maybe I should refer to the alderman of the district and take that as a suggestion to
withdrawn.
Him.
Okay. Second's been withdrawn. The motion fails for lack of second.
I think he's
Alderman Schmidt?
It'd be the move to that the money placed in the capital improvement fund for pedestrian access be included as part of the 51st Street resurfacing project for 2012 to save on mobilization and overall cost construction.
You're talking about the finance committee?
For review at the finance committee.
For review.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded to place to have the finance committee put the money in the 2012 capital improvement budget for the combination of sidewalk and street.
Okay. That'd be tied into the resurfacing project.
Okay. Alderman Taylor?
I'm confused here, Alderman Schmidt. I mean, you want a sidewalk. You want the sidewalk to be done only if the road goes in? That's your motion's doing?
It was already part of the capital the road improvement project to have that street put in there that the mayor had suggested.
Ron, sometimes I wonder what goes on up here. My God. Ron, do we know what the difference in cost will be if we do it standalone compared to...
$150,000.
Right. Well, you're talking about
Mr. Romans.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Romans.
Thank you. The economy of scale is kind of hard to gauge, really, to judge. There could be some savings for the elements that were talked about: traffic management, restoration, similar units, costs driven down by the larger size project. Pick a number, maybe 10%. You know, be.
So let me get this straight. What's that? What's my motion? Did you read in there, Doug?
That the money be placed in the capital improvement fund for pedestrian access as part of the 51st Street resurfacing project for 2012 to save on mobilization and overall construction costs.
So you understand that if the mayor puts in the budget that the sidewalk goes in, but he does not put in the budget to do the road, that the sidewalk will not happen. You understand that?
No, I guess
so. No, but you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the motion on the floor has been seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I thought we had a five-year road program and that this
we
was
do.
Already slated for being in the budget for 2010. And I've had several conversations with Mr. Bennett that this was the project, and we already looked through the five-year road program, and it was already in there. So I guess the question is, are we now saying we don't think 51st Street's going to be reconstructed? It's not going to last another year. People are already getting their cars damaged.
Right.
We get all kinds of calls and complaints about the potholes and the freeze-thaw. And Jerry, poor Jerry's crew, can't even keep up with all the patching that's needed on that road. We're working our DPW guys to death trying to keep the holes patched on that during the freeze-thaw of the winter. And they're going to go through it another year. So I guess I guess the question is it going to be done in 2012? Is the road going to be done in 2012? Is it the intention of this council for the road to be done in 2012 or not? That's the question before we call the vote, and I may want to rescind my second based on the answer of the council.
I think the question, Alderman, is the mayor going to include the same things that he included in the five-year road project in his 2012 recommended budget to the Finance Committee? And the answer is no.
Okay, so the answer is no, you're not going to put the money in the budget for the road?
I'm not necessarily looking at the five-year road program, looking at the entire budget for the city and how it works.
Okay, so what I'm hearing here is we want to support a motion that doesn't have any teeth behind it or action. So we're basically telling this constituents we're going to put the money in the budget, which could come out by the finance making the recommendation or this council making the recommendation if we're tightly tied in the financial situation. I just need clarification because
let me try and clarify.
Okay.
We already have one motion that passed.
Mm-hmm.
The first motion that passed, even though there was one no vote, was a motion to put funds, the mayor would recommend that funds be placed in the 2012 budget for a path for on the west side of 51st Street from, let's say, the Princeton Estates subdivision to Sendix. That motion passed. I believe you recommended a second motion. And the second motion is that you combine the street, the sidewalk, with the street.
To save money.
Okay. But they are two independent. What I'm saying is I've already directed staff to include in my recommended budget dollars necessary for a path on the west side of 51st Street. That's what I've guaranteed, and I just say this, I've said many times before. I drive through Muskego. They have asphalt paths all over the place. Some are tied to the streets, some aren't. This thing about everything being tied to the streets, I don't know. It's kind of a Franklin thing.
Mayor, obviously we don't have to tie it to the street, but it would save cost, and I guess my recommendation was based on the comment from Alderman Olson that said he wouldn't support one. What I see this happening is we're going to tell the people it's going in, and then it's going to come budget time, and we're going to cut it out. And if we tie it to the road, it's more likely to happen because everyone knows that the road needs to be done.
But Alderman, what I'm saying is that I, in the mayor's budget, will be recommending in that budget a path from Princeton Estates down to the corner by Sendix on the west side of the road.
And will your budget also include the repaving of resurfacing of 51st Street?
I haven't got that far yet. I can just guarantee you that that part is in there. I have to look at the entire budget. I haven't even begun to look at the budget.
Well, that doesn't sound like a very good promise to the citizens to me. I just see I don't know. I just don't see it happening without the road being in there at the same time.
That's up to the finance committee. Alderman Taylor?
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, I guess I'm thoroughly confused here because if I showed up tonight having a bunch of my constituents here and I wanted to get something done and it just passed 5-1 and the mayor said it's going to be in the budget, why on earth would I then tie what I just got adopted to something else happening? That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And Alderman Olson did a very good job, I commend him, to bring up an issue that came up a year and a half ago or 2 years ago where he didn't give him a sidewalk that he wanted on Pute's Road. And Alderman Wilhelm, you basically fell for it, and let's tie the two together. So what I would do is, Doug, rescind your motion, or rescind the second, the second motion, and just let the sidewalk pass on its own. Otherwise, in a budget that Alderman Solomon, he's actually the probably smartest one sitting there saying, I'm not voting on any of this stuff, so I want to see how it's all going to pan out. Because we don't know whether or not we can afford to do a road. We don't know. The mayor's not saying I'm putting the road in the budget. So if you want the sidewalk, this motion should just die and just let the first thing pass. That's the smartest thing we can do.
Alderman Wilhelm, or Alderman Schmidt?
Yeah. The primary reason that I was attempting to tie that in, the sidewalk in, was because I had read that resurfacing 51st Street was part of Jack's program or what he was projecting for his road improvement budget for 2012. So I thought, okay, here's a chance that we can get a both done at the same time. But if this looks like it will be a hurdle, then to getting, then I would, rescind the second motion and just maintain the first one to keep the sidewalk.
Second motion has been rescinded. Alderman Olson and Alderman Wilhelm.
Mr. Mayor, just to let everybody know, the purpose in my bringing up Pute's Road was not at all nefarious. I had no other motivation other than to remind the Common Council that we are the least consistent body ever devised in the history of government. What's good one day is never good the next. So, the folks over in Pute's Road are going to call me and wonder what the heck's going on, and I will just tell them that my colleagues can't keep their minds straight, nor can they be consistent. That's all there is.
Thank you.
Well,
Alderman Wilhelm.
I guess we'll wait and see what happens, but I'll be very curious to see when the budget comes through, if this item stays in the budget, so you might want to watch that budget process and
I can guarantee you that it will be in the budget, my recommended budget.
Yes, but at this council, we all know the council has the ability to remove those items from the budget.
You're absolutely correct, Alderman Wilson.
So that's
one
what
day it's this way.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, it's pretty much a meaningless motion if the council decides to take it out.
All right. I think we beat that to death. Okay. Where are we? B2. Resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of special use for a physical fitness facility use upon property located at 10610 West Venture Drive. Alderman Wilhelm.
Is that, I haven't gotten to G2 yet. Hang on. That's not my district.
Thank you.
It's Kim.
Yeah, I make a motion to approve the approval of the special use for the purpose of physical fitness facility at 10610 West Venture Drive, subject to the conditions in the draft resolution.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Under discussion, Alderman Solomon.
I was at the Planning Commission meeting when this was discussed. I'm concerned about the parking. I look at the new Gold's Gym in Hales Corners. There's 40, 50 cars in that place throughout any one period of time during the day.
Yeah.
And there isn't enough parking for number of square footage for this facility. I really am concerned about this. You're going to have spillover parking all over.
Mister,
and it's going to affect the other businesses.
He owns the entire property, and he will adjust, and he has discussed it with the rest of his tenants, and he sees no problem, plus he has very large parking.
Alderman Solomon, you have the floor.
I'm just concerned about the parking. I'll support it, but I'm...
Okay. This motion on the floor, for the record, Alderman Taylor has just stepped out, but is within view here.
Yeah, could we take a recess?
And there's a motion on the floor. Is there? It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. There's a request for a 5-minute break. Ask that everybody come back at 25 to 9. We do have a very... rest of the agenda.
So why do we need a finance committee? So, Mayor, I need to resign from the finance committee because I've been told by the alderman that the budget is already set. So,
nice.
Okay, we got a resignation.
I'll accept it.
Just crazy. Craziness.
Oh, okay. Man.
All right.
Hey, this happened here before we heard of this.
Let's see. We're all back. We're back on the record. Okay. Item 3, resolution conditionally approving a one-lot certified survey map being a division of the southeast one-quarter of southwest one-quarter of southeast one-quarter of Section 1, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, City of Franklin, County Milwaukee. Alderman Wilhelm.
This is a question for the city attorney. I'm prepared to make the motion to adopt the resolution. I just have a question, if there's no objection, that it include the appropriate language that... It is introduced by within the resolution, if that's appropriate, because I noticed that language wasn't there. We usually have the introduce at a regular meeting of common council this day by alderman, and that section is missing. So,
I think you can introduce any motion you like.
Okay. So I would make that motion to adopt the resolution condition approving a one-lot certified survey map being part of the southeast one-quarter of the southwest one-quarter of the southeast one-quarter, Section 1, Township 5, North Range 21, East City of Franklin, County of Milwaukee, State of Wisconsin, M&J 4K Family Limited Partnership at 3030 through 3130 West Boston Avenue, and to include typical introduced by language within the resolution.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded, by Alderman Skowronski. Any further discussion? Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. What's this? What are you talking about, this typically introduced by? I'm trying to figure it out.
Page 66.
Okay.
And the second to the last, it says introduced at a regular meeting of the Common Council.
Yeah.
And then it normally says by which alderman introduced it, but that line was missing from this resolution, so I'm just adding.
Is that normal resolutions or what?
Yeah, there's several of them in here that all have that,
it's
typical.
I guess
it's a motion that's been made and seconded under discussion. The city attorney, I almost called your alderman, Wesolowski.
I try not to read boilerplate when these are being prepared, but I think what Alderman Wilhelm might be referring to is standard ordinance language and not resolution language, because this is boilerplate, and I'm looking at G2 that was just adopted, and it has the same introduced at original meeting without the Alderman's calling out in front of it. I could be wrong.
Alderman Wilhelm, you have the floor.
Actually, I thought the same thing, but then I looked at several from last council meetings, and also, let's see, the other one was on page 200, where there's also a resolution in tonight's, which has the template language introduced by Alderman. So that's what I was basing it on. So I know that this had happened before, so I just want to make sure that the Alderman of the district gets mentioned as the maker of the motion introducing the development project.
The city attorney.
Well, I see that that resolution was prepared by the engineering department, and I'm looking at another resolution that I prepared on the well pump that I did myself, and it doesn't have all of them in. So if that's the direction, fine, but then I'll change every resolution that reaches the common council to include the ordinance pattern instead of just what's been going on for however long with resolutions.
55 years.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I was just looking for consistency, so I'll call the question.
Okay, the question's been called. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. The chair recognizes 2/3 of the members voting voted in favor of it. On the main motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Moving right along.